Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve for a little while. He'll be here shortly. He's actually flying down the freeway from the airport. He flew in this morning. And I'm blessed here to be right in between Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Well,
good to be with you, Sherry, and Dr. Alice Benton.
Hello, folks.
So we'll take some calls in a few minutes. I thought a couple things. I want to do a little bit of the financial discussion early in the program, and then the rest of the hour, these ladies can answer all your questions without me coming in and interrupting the program. The matching gift has been the big thing. We have until July 31 to get that matched.
Which is 2 weeks.
It's coming quick. We are 88% matched. $324,000 was the challenge. You folks have very generously supported it to the tune of $284,000.
That's so great.
If I was in an auditorium, I'd be standing and applauding for y'all.
Well, here you go.
So there's $40,000 left to match, and we're just praying and asking and hoping we can find the folks to step up. And remember, it's doubling your money. You know, if you were in Vegas and can put $5 down and walk away with $10, you'd probably do that. Well, it's not a gamble. This is a sure thing. That can happen if you make a gift. It will be matched. And we also, when this campaign is over, we want to start back in trying to encourage more folks to sign up for Club New Life. So I just want to put a plug in for that now and say that Club New Life, in the last 2 months, June and July, we've had very few signups relative to when we were talking about it more often. So we will talk about that more often. But, you know, let's go right to the phones, and at least we can get the question from our first caller and get the information of what's going on. And let's talk to Viv in Lebanon, PA. She's listening on WBYN out of Boyertown. Hello, Viv.
Hi. Are you ready for a question?
We are ready for your question, yes.
Hey, I'm calling on behalf of my son. He's 46 years old. His wife, my daughter-in-law, was diagnosed about a year ago as being bipolar. At the point now, she almost never takes her meds. She skips her counseling. He knows she's chatting with other men online. He's not sure if there's been any physical contact. She goes away for days at a time and doesn't tell him where she's going. She is also a hoarder, has destroyed his house completely, and does nothing for him. So my son is just totally discouraged. He's totally down on God and devastated, and he says, well, prayer just doesn't do anything. You just ask and ask, and everything stays the same. And his question that he had asked just on his own, just talking to me, is, do I have to live like this the rest of my life while she just goes out and does whatever she wants? And my question on his behalf is there any hope?
So does he have to live this way for the rest of his life, which probably right now seems like a very long time for him? And
yeah, probably 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, and is there any hope? Those are really good questions.
Well, you know, I get curious of why your son isn't calling, but that's another discussion, I suppose. But We're going to come back. We've got just a few seconds here. We're going to go to break. And I realize I neglected before we go to break to say that when you do make a gift today, we're going to send you a copy of John Townsend's new book, People Fuel. And that'll be our delight to send that to you when you make a gift towards that matching fund. We'll be back right after this, and Steve's in the studio.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Steve here. A little late getting in the plane. I could hardly get him to taxi that thing fast enough, but I do know we're talking to Viv, and we have heard the problem. Sherry, you want to take it from here with Viv?
So, you know, I think Larry did bring up a good question as to where your son is at in light of getting help for himself. It's a great question. You know, do I have to live like this? But my concern is this, Viv, is it sounds like if she's going away days at a time, she's not complying with her meds, she's not getting therapy.
No, she's not. I said that in the beginning. She has quit.
Right. So,
those things.
But think about it from her perspective. She's kind of got this nest without consequences. He's kind of standing over here saying, well, do I have to live like this? But she gets to fly away, come home, eat when she wants, sleep when she wants, fly away, come home. So boundaries are in order here. And a boundary.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, boundaries are something that we do in order to protect ourselves. It's like putting a fence around your body. If you're feeling unsafe with somebody, it's putting a fence around what you need and asking that and requiring it. And then putting some consequences down. And they're not consequences to punish somebody, but they're consequences aimed at expressing something that is needed. So it might sound like this. I'm interested in trying to work this out, but in order to do that, I'm going to need you to comply to your medication and therapy. And if you don't do that, then what that might look like is I will lose hope in our marriage. I will lose hope in fighting for us, because I can't fight for our marriage if you're not willing to comply. Now, that's kind of it's a boundary, and it's an altruistic thing, right? But it's a clear verbal expression of what your son needs. He can't do it without her being compliant.
Right, I know, and he's really tried.
But how has he tried, right? Because she's talking to other men. Right, she leaves and comes home. That doesn't sound like trying. That sounds like somebody who's frustrated and doesn't really know how to put a boundary down. And I'm not beating up on him, because we're hearing from you and not from him. But what
I know.
Has he drawn a line in the sand? Has he said, I can't stay married if you're going to continue to leave and go away for days on end?
No. Right in the beginning when this started, she asked him if he wanted a separation, and he said, no, I want to be here for you. That's all I know on that line.
Well, and Viv, supporting and loving and helping her to begin therapy and medication, those are good and necessary things. So if those are the steps he's taken, that's a good start. And so what Sherry's leading us to then is the next helpful step that no doubt his wife will not like it if he starts to take a firmer stand to protect uh-huh. the future of their marriage. But tolerating more isn't the answer.
You know, a lot of times you will hear somebody that's out there trying to connect with other people, opposite sex. What they want is connection. So if you and your spouse aren't doing some healthy connecting in a home group, a support group, something where that person can get healthy connection, they flip over into the unhealthy connection. But the other thing is, you know, we all want people to commit to get better. We love the I'm all in, willing to do whatever it takes, complete surrender decision. But the minimal level, and you use the word, and I talk about this, you know, if you don't think or you're not convinced that whatever it is that's being suggested is going to work, but you do know what you've been trying isn't working, compliance. That's the minimal level. So you just say to somebody stopping drinking, you say, just go and comply with what they're saying. See, I go try it for 30 days.
Yeah.
Well, if she can't even comply, which is the big deal with medication, if she can't even comply, then all support for what she's doing is enabling
right.
support.
Right.
So he really does have to get major help. Go to our intensive. Get in marriage counseling with her. Find the support group. Something. But everything that I'm hearing has become an enabling act of something that is just going to get worse. And I don't know who has the influence on her if he doesn't. I wonder about her mommy and daddy and where they come into play and what the boy's relationship is. And like Larry said, I wish we were talking to him, but yeah. We're not.
Well, and it's amazing once you start putting down boundaries. I love that John and Henry wrote the book Boundaries, and there's boundaries in marriage, which I think would be a great resource for them.
Yeah, we'll send that to this nice lady here, and she can give it to
them. Yeah, no boundaries, no change. In a situation like this, you're right, Steve. No boundaries, no change. So, first place to start.
Glad you called, and let's go over here and talk with Nancy. Nancy's calling us from Boston, listens to WEZE, I believe. Hi there.
Hello. Hi.
Hi,
I love
Nancy.
You guys. I listen whenever I can in the car, and thank you so much for all your healthy insight.
You're welcome, and how can we help you today?
Well, I have an ongoing situation with my son, who will be 28, is 28, and the mother of my 8-year-old grandson. It all started somehow before he was even born, and so it just is to a point now where I only see my grandson now because when my son has court-appointed custody, and we went to court twice. He was only with her through the pregnancy in a little over a year. But she just does not acknowledge my existence as his grandmother. And when I reach out to her, which I've done a number of times, I've hired my own lawyer at one point, the only way I can really try and communicate with her is through texting and requesting to be able to take him somewhere or spend time with him or do something with him. And there's no response.
Okay.
Nothing.
And I don't know what kind of grandparent rights there are in your state. There might be some. But are you suggesting that maybe you would be a great babysitter and call you whenever they need a sitter?
Well, they're not together. She lives with her family.
No, I'm talking about her.
One of the
I get that they're not together. But when she needs a babysitter, you know, rather than you say, on Saturday at 3 o'clock, I'd like to take the grandchild, you're saying, you call me, drop of a hat. If there's any way I can come, I'll come babysit.
Okay, so I guess what, you know, maybe it wasn't clear is I have done those things.
Mm-hmm.
She comes from an extended family. Mm-hmm. Auntie's down the street. So-and-so's over here. She has a younger sister who is now home with him all summer because she works.
Yeah.
So my question really is, what thoughts might you have on how I can open up the lines of communication with her? I mean, I've offered to sit with her.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Let me ask you this before maybe Alice can help you with lines of communication. How much does your son have the baby? How much time?
Well, he's eight. But he has him...
Yeah.
He has him every other weekend, and during the week, he takes him to class.
Well, my suggestion would be your son needs more time and then that will give you more time.
I was trying to resolve things without going through the courts.
But from a healthy development perspective, the every other weekend is, you know, that's really tough, you know, on a boy being with his dad just that much. So I would just, for a lot of reasons, see if that would be possible for him to increase his time, and that would increase your time with the 8-year old.
Well, what I did want to mention, just to kind of get the big picture here, is my son has PTSD related to this topic, the mention of her name. Anytime I say, you know, look, I want to take him, I get a couple of days. It's basically, you're on your own, I'm not the messenger. So he basically goes from zero to, I don't know, off the charts in a nanosecond, because he cannot and does not want to be the person that's confronting her or asking her to, you know. So I'm not sure how to deal with that.
As you've been talking, I've been wondering if the mother of your grandson is afraid. And if she's afraid of your family, and if her son might be taken away from her, could you imagine she might have that fear through what's gone on in the family history?
Well, the other thing, I don't know what's possible. Let me just say this much. She was very cruel to me when the child was young, refused to let me see him when I was going through my cancer treatment. So and I have forgiven her. I very prayerfully and spiritually have asked for forgiveness.
Nancy, there's a lot of hurt here, and your son has not been willing to intervene and assist you in reestablishing relationship. No. And you've gotten humble.
Right.
You've made the attempts. You've even gone through cancer treatment throughout all of this.
Mm.
But I want to go back to the fear. When you said you hired an attorney, I'm sure that was a good thing to fight for relationship with your grandson. But I did wonder if it made this mother put up a protective barrier that she has to protect her time with this boy when his father wasn't around at the beginning, if that might be a possibility.
But he was around.
Okay.
So from day one. And that might be possible. That might be possible. But I think really she's doing it because it's the only way she can retaliate towards me.
So Nancy, can I ask a question? I'm really curious about you. Because I'm hearing fear in you. I'm hearing fear. And
I won't get to spend the time I want to spend with him.
I hear you.
That is true.
I hear you. And so I want you to float back, just if you can just do this with me for one moment. I want you to float back to the earliest memory you can think of. This is pre-baby. I'm talking your life, the earliest time, and can you tell me a time where you felt like someone wasn't hearing you? Someone wasn't listening?
Absolutely.
What was that?
Going shortly after that, I went through a separation and subsequent divorce.
Okay, in your prior marriage.
Through all of this.
Oh.
It's through all of this.
Okay, so you've had incredible losses. You've had the loss of your own marriage. you've had this baby born out of wedlock and the fear that comes around that, because those relationships matter to us. And when we are, and when we want, long, hope, wish that we would have more time with someone and that we don't have access to that, we can go into fear, terror, panic. And I think what's happening, hear me out for a second. If I was working with you, we would go in and we'd touch your fear. We would touch your fear first. You know why? Because until you touch that fear and you begin to grieve what you're panicking about, you begin to cry over what you can't fix, you begin to ache over some of your losses, it's coming across as demands. It's coming across as a demand to your son. It's coming across to your, as a demand to your, you know, the mom of this child. And so people are feeling that demand and they're pulling away from you. They're pulling away.
It's infrequent that, so here was my thing. I went through all of the grieving. I did. I sought help and counseling. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it's some ritual residuals. But I think about, I just need to accept this, and I only get to see him when my son has him.
All right, hold on.
Maybe you've seen something pop up on your husband's phone or a website on a computer, and you're just thinking something isn't quite right in my marriage, and you think it might have to do with sexual integrity issues. Well, you're not alone, and we have a place for you to come and connect with other women who have the same kinds of questions or who maybe already know the truth. Restore Workshop will educate you on the key issues and then connect you to a small group of women walking through this same difficult journey. Between main sessions and small groups, you walk in scared and alone and as strangers, and you leave having a support system that can help you see your way through this.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Dr. Alice Benton. And Alice, finish up here with Nancy. It's always a hopeless, well, it's always frustrating when a grandparent can't see a grandbaby. It's like there, you can either legally make it happen or it's just there's a lot of frustration over it. What do you say to Nancy that could be encouraging to her?
Well, I think we can find hope in the step of humility. And so, Nancy, if you can be the one to extend the olive branch yet again, which is unfair to you, but that's where your power lies, to the mother of your grandson, and ask her, how has this whole thing affected you and my attempts to see the grandson? And is there anything I can do for you and I to reestablish relationship? Because I want to be a helpful part of your and your son's life. Ask it and just listen with a heck of a lot of prayer all around.
Yeah, maybe she'll respond to that text that has humility in it. It's hard to go wrong with humility.
So why don't we send her Take Your Life Back?
Got it.
As a book, because I think that's what she's really desperately trying to do.
Yeah. All right. That's what we're going to do. Let's go to Mary, Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. What's going on today?
Well, I have a question. Okay. I am in a very complicated marriage, and I'm wondering, why would God want me to remain married when the relationship is virtually non-existent? If, in fact, he does want me to.
And so,
figure that out.
So tell me about your husband. What is going on?
Well, the complication with it is that I met him when I was 13 and a half, and he was my pastor and my perpetrator. And through a series of events, he, you know, abused me for 3.5 years, eventually found me after I graduated high school and pursued me, and we ended up marrying.
Wow, and, that is a horrible story.
Yeah, there aren't many like it.
How old was he when you were 13? How old was he?
He was twice my age.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow.
So you got married at 16 and a half?
No. He pursued me after I graduated from high school and went to college.
Okay.
So he got kicked out of town after the abuse. And then he pursued me when he found out I had graduated. He pursued me. He found out where I was going to college.
Mary, had there been legal intervention when it came to light what he had done to you?
None.
Only run out of town. No charges filed. Nothing. The church didn't do
nothing.
Anything.
No.
And what did your parents do?
Well, they were... You know, they were happy that he was gone, but they didn't pursue anything. As a matter of fact, throughout the whole ordeal, I really lost everything, community, family, relationship with my parents, because instead of being protected, I was accused with him.
Sure.
Totally makes sense. So,
and Mary, through the years of your marriage, what kind of man has he become?
Well, he continues to be. He was very emotionally, psychologically immature. You know, and so throughout our marriage, he has remained so and has not accepted to have any help. So, you know, I have done all the work in the relationship, and he has remained very distant and so forth. And I've worked really hard, actually, to try and make something of it.
Sure. Now, and, I wonder, in your having gone through this and kind of been the outcast of the city, have you taken that shame on and it's been hard to connect with other women?
Actually, not at all.
Good.
I'm very relational, and I belong to many groups and
good.
Have great women friends. So
okay.
I have a great life outside the marriage,
yeah.
But the marriage has become really intolerable for me.
So I have a really scary question to ask you. I mean, it's like I'm shaking in my boots right now, but I want to ask it. So when you met him, he was a pedophile. Are you convinced that his sexuality is not compromised?
That he's not acting out still?
Yeah, with porn, with...
I'm actually very sure that he's not.
And how do you know that? How do you know that?
Because he's not been interested at all in any kind of relationship with anyone. And he never spends time on the computer, and he does not have a smartphone.
It doesn't matter. He found you without those things.
I'm 100% positive.
Okay, and let me tell you what.
He stays home all the time. He's schizoid, so he's not, you know, relational at all as well.
Mary, do you have children?
I have adult children, yes.
And grandchildren?
I do.
And does he spend time with your grandchildren?
Not really.
I'm scared for you. I wish I could meet with you face to face. I wish we could sit down over coffee, because I would probably maybe be one of the more uncomfortable people that you'd have to talk to. But I'm concerned about this 100% sure. I really am.
I've talked to all my daughters, and none of them have indicated in any way. I mean, they assured me that he has never bothered them in any way.
I know, but nobody knew about you, and you discounted it. And I think you're still discounting it. There's nothing. There's no passion in your marriage. He's got to be getting something somewhere.
We'll be back.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. And Mary, we're so sad for you, and we're really sad for the marriage that you're in. And, you know, I know this, that a marriage like this that seems so hopeless, it kind of is, the marriage kind of is, unless you've got two people willing to do some major, major work. Mm-hmm. When you've got two people, as sad as your marriage is, if we could get both of you doing the work, then you've got great hope. Whether the marriage gets better or not, I know you can get better. And I think the worst thing that could happen is for you to leave this man, and now he is free to do whatever he wants to do with even less accountability. Mary, we don't know pedophiles. He was a pedophile. And one of my heroes was a guy that was exactly his age, 26, when he became a Christian. And he walked down to the police station the next day and turned himself in and said, I'm having sex with a 12-year-old. He was convicted, personally convicted. That's what he needed to do once he accepted Christ. I just don't know. And the stuff that you're saying is very scary to us. So I think your best hope is that you have to accept that this is where you need to be, and then work with somebody, a great Christian therapist, to weave through all of this. Number one, to be sure that your husband isn't acting out, And number two, is there something that you could do that would put some very healthy pressure on him to get help with you or by himself? And I think we just need to talk with you off the air about some of those kinds of things here, because we're just so concerned for you, for him, and any child that would be around him, because spontaneous remission of a pedophile would be an extremely rare thing. It would have to be a spiritual transformation kind of experience, and we're not hearing about anything like that, or that he's ever gotten any help or even admitted that, yeah, you know what, that's who I was. So, Alice, your thoughts here?
Mary, I go back to your question about God, and I am so angry for you and feeling very protective of you that all the people around you could have allowed this marriage to take place without intervening, and you were so young and so injured by what he had done. Mm-hmm. So you asked, does God want me to stay in this marriage? And my answers are very firm, absolutely not in the way that it is, because God never wants us to stay in sin, in a sinful relationship. So your power over your husband is definitely limited. But I think about Proverbs 24:11, where we're told we need to stop those that are headed towards death, that are staggering towards the edge. We at least have to make our best attempt. You're in a very unfair position here. But understanding that your husband has never accepted treatment, I would encourage you to make it a demand, no longer a request.
Yeah.
And then a demand with behavior attached to it. If he won't do it, then you have to take protective steps for yourself, your children, and your grandchildren, because I know he can't be trusted if he's not willing to get help.
Right.
He's not safe.
You've described one of the most troubling situations we've heard of.
Yes.
And one of the most troubled men we've heard of, and he's getting no help.
Yeah.
So that's where you have to say, anything I do is enabling this horrible situation with many, many dangerous question marks. And so there is going to need to be a demand that he get help with you or by himself, but it's no longer tolerable for him not to get help. That's what I think God would want, is him getting help.
You know, when I see potential harm, it's always underneath denial. Denial is what we think and feel, minus the facts.
Yeah.
Right? We think he's a schizoid. We think he's 100% okay. We feel not really afraid or concerned. Right? Those things don't really match. When someone's in denial, people get really hurt. And she got hurt. Yeah. Breaks my heart.
Right. Yeah. But. All right. So more rather than less in this particular case. I want to talk to Marie. I will send... we should send your
Intimate Deception
book, Intimate Deception.
Healing
That's going to help her.
Sexual Betrayal.
And we'll send Take Your Life Back also. Let's talk to Mary, calling from WTLN, and we're glad that you called. How you doing, Mary? Or is it Marie?
Marie.
It's Marie.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay, so my question is, I'm married to a man who's an alcoholic. And I've really resigned myself to that, but there is really one issue that I just can't. When he's had too much to drink,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to have sex,
mm-hmm.
and I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
And here's just a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
Are you going to Al-Anon?
Actually, yes, I did. I've been to Al-Anon.
I said, are you going to Al-Anon?
I'm not going to Al-Anon currently, no. Let me just give you real quick. I did try to confront this problem. We've been married for 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
I did try to confront this problem about 6 years ago. It ended up... We split up for 2 years. We've been back together now for 3. And he did go to AA, but, you know, it wasn't his heart. it just wasn't, I don't know. I can't speak for him.
Okay, so why did you get back together? Why did you guys get back together then? Started going to AA?
No. Actually, for those 2 years, all I did, I really saturated myself in the Bible, mm-hmm. and I learned a lot. I wish I would have known years and years ago.
Yeah.
But it really said how, you know, God hates divorce and the effects it would have on children and everything. And we have 3 children together. And
you know what else God hates? You know what else God hates?
What?
Drunk men demanding sex from a woman.
Well, he's not demanding. You know, it's just that I'm conflicted. You're not supposed to. You know, you're supposed to this and that, and I just can't do that anymore. And I know the big issue is the alcohol, but when I tried to confront that, it ended up in separation.
Marie, so, who initiated that separation in your marriage?
It was me.
You know what most worries me, my dear, with you, is do you know what the word resigned means? You said I've resigned.
I've given up on trying to fix that part of our marriage.
Yeah, resign means to be patient, to be tolerant, to suffer, to accept, to comply. You're doing all those things, and he's an addict. He's not getting better. And in your mind, kind of like the first caller, you're minimizing this. You're going into denial to try to cope with the fear you have about confrontation. Your children are in a home with an active alcoholic. Your body is crying out when you smell the alcohol on his breath and he's forcing himself on you sexually. In that act, you feel gross. You feel sick. You aren't even in your own skin. You can't even relax. Your body is your dashboard. It's trying to get your attention. Your body's crying out and saying, Marie, what are you doing? Why do you keep making me do this?
Mm.
Yeah.
Marie,
I know that alcohol, it's so big. Addictions that people have are so big, and unless he wants to find God, he can't get out of it.
But you are in the way of God right now. You know why? Because you're protecting him from consequences. You need to let the problem be a problem.
Yep.
And you need to work on protecting yourself, protecting your kids, protecting your family. I wish I could be your sponsor. Because you know what? I would put my arm around you and I'd say, girl, come on, girl, don't you give up. We need to help you power up, find your strength, get support, start putting boundaries down, because nothing is going to change until you do that. You're the linchpin.
And I go back into a war with his addiction?
Yes. Yes. We've got to have a fight for what's right. And the alcoholism.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton. We're talking with Marie. Marie, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. So I just want you to go down this road with me for a second. All right?
Yes.
The Bible says that we should not, man should not from woman should not from man, withhold sex from each other, right?
Right.
But do you think that means that if your husband came in with a shotgun and said, have sex with me, that would fall in that classification? Well, let me answer it for you. I don't think so. If he came in and said, if you don't have sex with me, I'm going to leave you forever, I don't think that falls under that. We're talking about healthy sex. And when a man comes in and he's drunk, he's not your husband. He's a drunk man. And for you to have sex with the drunk man is enabling the drunk man to do whatever he wants to do with you. And so I'm just going out on a limb here saying that I do not believe that, and I am a firm believer that when husband or wife withhold sex from each other, it is horrible. And you need to figure out how to fix it. But I don't think that requires a wife to have sex with a drunk man. You say to him, you're drunk. If you want to be intimate with me, you get sober. And we will be very intimate in every way possible. But I am not going to have sex with you when you're out of your mind, drunk, under the influence of alcohol. You guys think that that's right or misguided?
No, I agree with that. I want to take it to a higher level as well, because I'm so upset that this is the question you're asking. And again, I'm feeling protective of you in addition to the other women that have called. Because you asked about, am I just supposed to then keep fighting, get back into the fight against the alcoholism? I don't want you to be the one fighting the alcoholism. I think you're the only one fighting it right now as you're debating these questions of what you're supposed to do. I wish, instead of talking about whether or not you'll have sex with your husband when he's drunk, I wish you'd be talking about not allowing alcoholism under the same roof with you and your children, and that if he wants to remain with you, he's got to get help today and go find a meeting today, because you and your children need that protection from his alcoholism so that the battle goes back into his court and he's the one that has to make the decision about whether or not he'll fight his alcoholism with help.
Yeah, we want you to withdraw your resignation, right?
That's exactly.
And get and
you can't
fight.
Be resigned.
And it's not fun and it's horrible, but it's not as horrible as a man wasting his entire life and not having to come to grips with the consequences of his behavior. That's why you, with a great Christian counselor, you, with a great Al-Anon group, working the steps. Not just going to Al-Anon, but working the steps. And I just would refer you to the sermon I just did, and you can get it on our website, 12 Steps for Anyone. They will help you figure out what you can change and what you can't. And I think it could open a door for you.
Because change comes when we're intolerant. We say, I'm not tolerating. Mm-hmm. Change comes when we choose to say, this is unacceptable behavior, right? That's the opposite of resignation. So, and that's the only way addictions stop.
That's right.
And we have that conversation during a moment of sobriety, not when he comes home drunk again.
Yeah. You know, I came in a little late. But these are tough calls, from the very first call to this call. And I hope and pray that if you're listening, that it gives you a message that not everything is tied up in a nice, neat bow when we become Christians, or when we marry a Christian, or when we pray that God will fix something. We have to cooperate with God. And what I've found is that usually the right thing is the toughest thing on the list. That the easy stuff, it's not on the list. And so it's hard to tell folks, go do the hardest thing you could possibly do. Yet that really is where there is hope. And every one of these situations, somebody has to do something pretty radical if life is going to be different. Well, let's just say that your life is extremely difficult. And, you know, I've talked about this goal of all of us, I think, that's given to us by Jesus. Is our ultimate goal is loving well, loving God well, loving each other well. Anything standing in the way of that, it needs to be dealt with head on. So we want to help you. And many times that can't be done in a 3-minute phone call on radio. And we love getting to take a shot at whatever it is you're going through. But let us find a counselor for you. Let us find a group. There are life recovery groups that we can find for you. Let us find the clinician, the workshop. Something could help you turn this around. Maybe you don't need one of our intensives, but maybe you do. I mean, you know, even the pedophile schizoid husband, if he went to every man's battle, it literally could change everything for him if he sat through that. There's hardly anybody that isn't impacted positively when they go to that. We've got one coming up on the 9th of August in Sacramento. Finding Freedom is September the 20th. And whatever it is that is preventing you from loving well, we can deal with it right there. We've got a 12 Steps to Happier. That's October the 5th. Sounds so strange to be using 12 steps to get to a happier place. And yet that's what serenity is all about. Reasonable happiness in this world and eternal happiness in the next with our Lord. We have an Intimacy and Marriage workshop, October 25th, and Restore for Women, November the 15th. I don't know what you need. We've got books. This is a great book that John Townsend has. A donation of any amount, we'll send it to you. People Fuel, it's fantastic. Sherry's book, Intimate Deception. It can help you understand what has happened to you because you have been deceived in some way. It's there. Take Your Life Back. It's a plan anybody can follow to take care of what's on my side of the street, so I'm no longer reacting. I'm responding the way that God wants me to respond. But you have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE for us to help. 1-800-NEWLIFE.
You bring up a point, and I'll be really quick. You know, oftentimes we hear that phrase in recovery circles, you know, you need to stay on your side of the street. But like these calls today, with the pedophile, with somebody who's not taking medication and texting men and leaving, with somebody who is sexually wanting sex and that alcohol is in the home.
Right.
That's on our side of the street.
They're living on your side.
Yeah. So we have to look at that. It doesn't mean letting go and learning to tolerate that. It means you got to roll up your sleeves and say, this isn't okay.
You know, people will say, well, he's not going to change until he decides, hey, listen, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But you can also make them very thirsty. You can put salt blocks all around. And that's what we're talking about, is we're talking about setting a person up to where the pain is so great that recovery is the least painful thing. Mm-hmm. That needs
well
to
said.
Take place. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, we'll send you a copy of John's book. Your gift gets matched. We're going to do another program right now. If you want to join us for that, 1-800-229-3000. Let's pray for every one of these situations that we've heard today. And I pray for you that this is going to be a good day for you. Ask God to do what only God can do while you do what you can do.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.